I think traditionally, Shabbos, Parshas Chayisara, used to be the Shabbos when they would be Mechabed the Chevek Kadisha. And Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim would be the Shabbos when they would dedicate in honor of the Chevek Shas in Europe. This Shabbos is Mishpatim. They will do a little Parsha. The Torah tells us that an Eved Ivri is Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. We usually assume Madan of Yitan Loisha means a Shivcha Knainis. We usually assume that there's an Issa Deraisa for Yisrael to live with a Shivcha Knainis. Rashi and Tosis understand that that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Kodesh B'Menei Sov, L'Siyah Kadesh B'Menei Yisrael. Kodesh means a Jewish man who lives with a Shivcha Knainis, because then Kiddush and Dovson. Masiyah Kiddush means if a Jewish woman will live with an Eved Knaini, because there's no Tfisis Kiddush. So that's considered the Znus, that's considered Kiddushus. By Eved Ivri, it's a special din. Eved Ivri is Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. The Shara Melech is a Sefer on the Rambam, by one of the Sfarish Gedolim from years ago. The Shara Melech raises the question, is the Eved Ivri Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis on his own? Or is it only Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis if the Rabbi Moser lo Shivcha Knainis and Madonna Yitan lo Isha? The truth of the matter is that his suffix seems to be an explicit machloikis, Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos holds that by an Eved Knaini, there's both a Kinyan Mammon and a Kinyan Isa. And the Gemara says, Hamafker Avda, if a person is Mafker his Eved Knaini, the Hefker is Chal on the Kinyan Mammon, but Hefker is not Chal on the Kinyan Issa. The Mafker Avdoi, Mafker and Eved Knaini, it's all get Shichor. Machlek is Rabbi Shmuel in the middle of Gittin, and we assume he still needs a get Shichor. Hefker is only Chal on the Kinyan Mammon, and the Kinyan Issa is not dependent on the Kinyan Mammon. If I sell an Eved Knaini to someone else, so the, when I do the Mechira, so the Kenyan Mammon goes over and the Kenyan Issa goes over also. But if I'm Mafka, the Kenyan Mammon, we don't assume that the Kenyan Issa vanishes into thin air. That's what the other Amora holds, based on a Pasuk that you can't have Kenyan Issa alone. We hold not so. A Mafka Rabbi, a Mafka the Eved Kani. It's all get Shichur for the Kenyan Issa. So Eved Kani have both. You have a Kenyan Mammon and a Kenyan Issa. And Eved Ivri, that's a Machlokes Tosfos. And the Ramban, is there a Kinyan Issa or not? So Tosfos' opinion is, in Yevamos Daf Ayin, Amud Beis, the first Daf in Perek Oral, first Amud Beis in Perek Oral, Tosfos' opinion is that there is no Kinyan Issa by Eved Ivri. But then Tosfos asks, how can it be? But he's Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis. It shows that in the area of Issa V'Heta, the Dinim are different. It does not imply that that Odon has a Kinyan Issa on the Eved Ivri. He says, no, is Mutta Be'Eved, the Eved Ivri is Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis, it's in the line of duty. Since he's Meshubah to the Adon to do Meloche, so the Adon has the right to be Mosel L'Shivcha Knainis, to be Molid Vlodis. But if the Adon doesn't think he's going to get any Vlodis out of it, he has no right to give him a Shivcha Knainis, and he's not Mutta on his own B'Shivcha Knainis. How can you say that? What do you mean? Let's say the Odin will ask him to be Mechal Shabbos. He's allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He's not allowed to do Averis. So why is it Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis? They have to add on a little bit that the whole Iser of living with the Shivcha Knainis is because it's Efkerizdik. It's Pritzis. But if you do it in the line of duty, if the Odin has the right to demand of the Eved, Mishnes Chasachar Avotcha, the Pasuk says, he worked twice as hard as a normal poil. A poel normally works by yom and he rests at night. And the Eved Ivri, it works by yom ubalayla. He's Rabbi Mosel L'Shivcha Knainis to have a lotus. So that's called Mishnes Chasocha, double. He works twice as hard as a poel. Poel's only Eved by yom, and Eved Ivri's Eved by yom ubalayla to be moiled for lotus. So Tosfos thinks that there is no Kinyan Issa in an Eved Ivri. And the fact that in Mutta B'Shivcha Knainis is in the line of duty. And how is that matter, the Issa Shivcha Knainis? Because it's not done by Efen Shal Havkeris, not doing on his own. The Odin has a right to be Mosalo Shivcha Knainis. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban learns that Gemara Kiddushin, the first parak, differently from Tosfos. Ramban learns that there is both a Kinyan Mammon and a Kinyan Issa by an Eved Ivri also, not only by Yish. Eved Kanani is that both Kenyam and Kenyam Isa. Same is true by Eved Ivri. Who has a whole essay about this topic? People are familiar. Avner Miluim has an essay. Avner Miluim is the sefer by the Ktzos HaChoshen on Eben HaEzer. On Chosh Mishpat, it's called the Ktzos HaChoshen. On Eben Ezer, it's called Avner Miluim. Avner Miluim, he didn't print during his lifetime. It was printed after he passed away, and he had a son-in-law who was very learned, Shlomo Yehuda Rappaport, known as Shir, the Rosh HaTevis, Shin Yud Reish, and he was a bit of a maskil. He was religious, very learned, but he was a maskil. That's why a lot of Hasidim won't look into the Avner Miluim, because his son-in-law, the maskil, put it together from the notes of the father after he passed away. So in the end of the Avner Miluim is like the Ktzos, comments in the order of Eben Ezer. In the end of the Avner Miluim, he has what he calls Shadas Tshuvas. It's not really Shadas Tshuvas. Nobody ever asked him these Shadas. It's essays on topics in the Gemara. Maybe one or two is a real actual shayla, but most of the essays are not shayla. It's like the Shagzai. Shagzai is not a... It's called Shadis Tshuva Shagzai, but nobody asked him, when is this man Kriya Shema? He wrote essays on tefillin and tzitzis and davening and Kriya Shema and so on. So one of the essays in the end of the Avner Miluim, and the Shadis Tshuva Avner Miluim, is about this topic, about Kenya Mamin, Kenya Isa. So he quotes the Rashi, the Taisus with the Ramban. This is a famous topic. Omo Hivriya. The Pashto says in Eved Ivri, there are two types of Eved Ivri. There's Mecher Atzman and Machruhu Bezen. Omo Hivriya, the Pashto says you only have, the father has the ability. Chim Karish is Bita the Omo. Does a woman have the ability to sell herself as an Omo Hivriya? So the Pashto says not. She cannot sell herself as an Amma Hivriya. Only the father can sell her. And Yotzachinim and Kesed, when she reaches the age of Nairus or Bagrus, whichever comes first, normally Nairus comes first. She becomes a Gedoyla. Naira is at the age of 12, Bagrus is 6 months later. There is a Hechitimtza that if she's an islandess, then she doesn't become a Gedoyla at the age of 12. She Yotzachinim Mikatnus. Le Bagrus, and then she goes free by Bagrus, either by Bagrus or Benares, whichever comes first. So the Omavriya says in the Pasuk, Loi Seitzei Kitzei So Avodim. What does that mean? Loi Seitzei Kitzei So Avodim. So Rashi quotes the Drosha from the Gemara, which doesn't sound at all that it's Pshuto Shal Mikra. The Gemara's Rosh is Loi Seitze Kitzeso Avadim. She doesn't have a Yitzir Lecherus like an Eved Knaine. Eved Knaine is Yerze B'Shen V'Yayin, and Omo Ivri is not Yerze B'Shen V'Yayin. Then you have a Pasuk in Dvorim that says Ki Mocha Locha Achicha Ivri Olo Ivri Yo Makish Ivri Le Ivri Yo. Just like an Omo Ivri Yo is not Yerze B'Shen V'Yayin, so too an Eved Ivri is not Yerze B'Shen V'Yayin. So Pasha Pshat is, that's not Pshuta Shal Mikra. Loi Seitze Ketzei Savarim, she doesn't have a Yitzia Lecherus. Ketzei Savarim like an Eved Kanaini. Eved Kanaini is Yetzi B'Shem V'Yayin. Doesn't seem to be Pshuta. So what is Pshuta Shal Mikra? The Gemara tells us, Eir HaMikki Yetzi Mendei Pshuta, in addition to all the drushes of the Torah Shabbal Peh, which we do accept, we certainly accept all the additional levels of interpretation, but every Pasuk in Chumash has to have a Pshuta Shal Mikra. There's only one Pasuk in Chumash where there's no Pshuto Shal Mikra. Who knows the Pasuk? By Yibum, it says, V'haya p'chor she'tele yokam ha'shimach ha'meis. So the simple translation of the Pasuk is that when you perform Yibum and you have a baby, so you name the baby after the father, after the person who died. So the Gemara says, it's not Pasha Pshat at all. That Pasuk is ha'mikri yetzim de Pshuto. That Pasuk only has drushes of Torah Shabbal Peh. Pshuto Shal Mikra is not true. So the Tur has a commentary. Tur is the son of the Rosh. So the Tur has a commentary on Chumash. Every so often I'll quote some new interpretation from the Rosh that we never knew before. So in this Pasuk he has a famous comment. How do you translate Pshuto Shal Mikra? Loi Seitzi Ketzei So Avodim. So he says he thinks that Pshuto Shal Mikra means like this. If you have an Eved Ivri, a man, you have a right to ask him, please go to the post office to pick something up. Please go shopping in the store. Please go to the cleaners and bring in the suit. If you have a girl is a young girl, she goes free at the age of 12. That's not Derech Eretz. Lo yisei to kitzei sabon. It's not Derech Eretz to ask the girl to go do some malocha activity for the Adon. Chutz labayit. You have a right to keep her now. She's a young girl. You have a right to ask her to wash the dishes, to babysit, to do the laundry or something, but not to do some activity chutz labayit. That's not kol kvud bas melach panima. She's gonna become addicted to stay on. Yeah, if you have an amo hevriya, so the amo hevriya is yotze b'sheish, same as every day, or b'yovel yom kippur shel yovel. Whichever comes first. Either the end, Sheish means at the end of the 6 years when the Eved Ivri or the Om Ivriya was sold, and then Yom Kippur Shal Yavil, whichever comes first. The Om Ivriya has a din of Yiyud, Asher Lo Ya'odo. So there's a Kri Aksiv. The Aksiv in the Chumash is Asher Lo Ya'odo Lamed Aleph, but the Kri, we read it, as if it were written with a vav shalo yod, it's a mitzvah on the part of the Yodan, he should marry the girl. Unless it's a major age gap. If the Yodan is 40 years old and the girl is only 10 years old, so it doesn't make sense, he should marry her. But if he's in Gansan 18 years old and the girl is 10 years old, so there's a 8 year gap in between. So maybe in the days of Tanakh, maybe that was reasonable. So there's a mitzvah of yud, a shalo yod, the mitzvah is yud, kodemus le mitzvah spediyah. And then there's a din of Im Libno Yodeno. There's a din of Yud Habein. Who exactly makes the Yud Habein? So that's very unclear in the Gemara. The Lechem Mishnah and the Rambam points out that that's a machlekes Rashi and Gemara Kiddushin. The end of the first parak Kiddushin, you have all the dinim. Middle of the first parak Kiddushin, you have all of the dinim of Yud. So that's machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. Who's miyad the girl? The son tells the girl, Harep miyadisli, with the money that my father paid your father to buy you as an Amma Hebriya? Or the father says, Hare Miu Edis Libni. That's Machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. And Yehud is a big Machlekes Satanaim. How does it happen? They say, Mois HaVishanis L'Kiddush Nitnu, or not. There's a lot to discuss in the Gemara in the Rambam about how Yehud works. The Gemara talks in Yesh Nechlem and a few other Mesichtas. The Gemara talks about there's a din of Haben Yorosh HaSaviv. If and when the father dies, the son gets the Yerusha, and the Bchor gets Pishnaim and the Yerusha. Then there's another din, Haben Kom Tach HaSaviv. That's not really a din of Yerusha. Let's say Yud Haben. Yud Haben, the father's alive. It's not a din that the son Yarshins the Am Ivriya. When the father dies, Am Ivriya does not go be Yerusha. Am Ivriya does not go be Yerusha. It's a din haben kam tachasaviv liyud. Where else do you have a din haben kam tachasaviv l'steachuza? The Gemara says, if the father was magdish, that there's a steachuza and there's a steimikne. Steachuza means that this is a field I got from my father, got it from his father, all the way back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when they divided Eretz Yisrael. So there's slightly different din between a steachuza and a steimikne. Steimikne means I bought a field in Eretz Amager. My ancestor during the lifetime of Yeshua ben Nun wasn't even Jewish. We didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. I became rich and I bought a share in Eretz Yisrael. So whenever you have a stay mikna, you bought it, so it goes back, when it comes to Yom Kippur Shal Yom, it goes back to the original owner. So there are several differences between a stay achuza and a stay mikna. So one of the differences is if a person has a stay mikna and he's magdashit, he only owns it until Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. When it comes to Yom Kippur Shel, it goes back to the original owner. So when he's Magdashit, he can't give Hekdash more than he himself owns. So when he's Magdashit, the Hekdash only keeps it, or the person Hekdash, the Gizbush Shel Hekdash auctions it off to the highest bidder. So the fellow only has the right to hold it up until Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, because the one who donated it to Hekdash only owns it Lizman. He only owns it until Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. It can't be Magdash more than he owns. But if you have a Steachuza, you know, when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it's going to remain by you. Then if you're Magdash it, you can kiss it goodbye. You're not going to get it back. Unless you pay it back from the Gizba. If the Gizba auctions it off to the highest bidder, and the one who is Magdash it buys it back, then it reverts back to become a Steachuza. So the Gemara has a din that if the Gizba Shel Hegdash, somebody donated a steachuza to Hegdash, and the Gizbo auctions it off to the highest bidder, he sells it to somebody other than the Magnish. The one who donated it is not Poyde. And Mochas Asada Le'ishacher, the Pasuk says in Vayikra, if the Gizbo auctions it off to someone else, Le'ishacher, then the fella keeps it even when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, it goes to the Kohanim. The person with Magnish doesn't get it back. So the Gemara has a drash, Mochas Asada Le'ishacher, La'acher Velo Le'bein. If the father was Magnish, they Achuza, and then the father does not buy it back from the Gizbar, but the Gizbar auctions it off to the highest bidder, the son of the Magdish. So the din is Aben is Mamet Ste Achuza Lov, Aben Kom Tachasov, Ste Achuza, and it reverts after the father dies, it becomes a Ste Achuza by the Ben. It becomes a Ste Achuza. It's not a din of Yerusha. He didn't Yarshan it from the father, he bought it from the Gizbar. Then the father dies later. So that's a din. Aben kom tachasavi l'stei achuza. Where else do you have a din? It's not really a din of Yerusha. The din is, let's say, the father is a nazir, and the father set aside karbonis to bring at the end of the naziris. This man of the naziris. Naziris is a minimum of 30 days. It can be 50 days, 150 days, 50 years, whatever you want, any amount of time, more than 30 days or more. So if a person is a nazir, and he sets aside karbon, he magdish the karbonis to bring when the malos of the naziris will be over, and then he dies, and it happens that his son is also a nazir. So let's say the father was machal Shabbos, and he set aside the karbon chatas to offer and the beis hamikdash to get a kapara, and then he dies, and the son was also machal Shabbos the same time with the father. So the son can't bring the karbon that the father was magdish. That karbon was hukdash for the kapara for the father. You can't bring it for the kapara for the son. The Gemara says, Halacha hi benazir, it's halacha l'moshim Sinai, that Aben megaleach al nazir saviv. The father was a nazir, he set aside a korban, and the son is a nazir, and the father dies, so the son could bring the karbanis that the father designated, and he'll be etzbet that. That's called, it's a mishnah nazir. Aben megaleach al nazir saviv. So that's not really a din of Yerusha. It's not a din of Yerusha. The father was magabish the karbanis. That's called Haben Kom Tachasoviv Leneziris. A whole bunch of dinim that depend on Kom Tachtov. And then the Gemara has a shadow. Let's say the father was an Ozir, and he set aside Karbanis and he dies, and he has two sons who are Nazirim. Two sons. And one is a Pchor and one is a Poshut. Is a Pchor entitled to Pishnayim? Pishnayim is when you're dealing with money in the bank, a Yerusha. This is not really a din of Yerusha, it's a din of Kom Tachtov. So the Gemara thinks that they probably know. Gemara is not sure. The Gemara knows here is not sure. Probably there's no din of Ben Kom Tachasovi. There's no din of Pchor Notel Pishnayim by this din. Pashta says there shouldn't be a din. And then the Gemara also has a possibility. Let's say the father dies and he has two sons, they're both Nazirim. And one of them took all the Karbonis and he was... And he brought it for his Naziris. The Gemara says it could be that you're not even divided equally. It could be a kolakadim zacha. Could be that the din is kolakadim zacha. Whoever brought the karbonis first was Yaitse. Years ago, there was an Asik. There was a Hasidish Rebbe who passed away, and he was buried in Haraz Esim, I think. And he had purchased another plot next to his. And he had three sons. So the first son had a smicha from YU, but he was in a nursing home. His second son took over the chassidus from the father. He's known whatever. Father was ever the Chartkeve Rebbe, whatever he was, so the son became the Chartkeve Rebbe. And the third son was much younger than the older two sons. So the shaila was, who's entitled, who has the schus to be buried next to the father? So the older son said, he's the Bchor, he should have the right to be buried next to the father. Second son said, no, but I'm the Rebbe. I took over the Rabbistva. You're in nursing homes, you're in business. He didn't take over the Rabbistva from the father. So they were fighting with each other. So they wanted to go to it in turn. So the one who was a Chassidish Rebbe wanted to go to a Bezna from Aguda, because he was connected with Aguda. And the one who was the one who had Smicha from YU didn't want to go to Aguda, because they knew that they would be prejudiced, they would favor their brother. He wanted to go to the RCA Bezin. that they couldn't agree on who the Beis Din would be, so they decided to go to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik was still alive. They came to him, so Rabbi Soloveitchik said the traditional psak is Kol HaKadim Zocher. Whoever dies first has the right to be buried. So no one wanted to win the dinner. They didn't want to win the dinner. That was based on, people thought it was a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It was based on this Gemara in Nazir. That Ben Negalech on the Zira Savim. So the Gemara says Asvare could be Kol HaKadim Zocher. Yeah.
What about other karbanos? If the father sets aside Shlamim or something, he says Arezu Shlamim, or he has Maus or something, would it, because there is a mitzvah for the person who brings it, so could it be that Kol HaKadim Zocher also by that?
I don't think so. The Gemara talks about the Yorish bringing the karbanis of the one who died, and the Yorish gets a mikzas kapara. The Gemara says he gets a superficial kapara. The Loshan HaGemara is he gets a kapara. Mikufyo, velo mikibo. Kufi means floating. In Aramaic, kufyo means something is floating on the river. Velo mikibo, he gets a superficial kapara, doesn't get an in-depth kapara. I don't think he would say over there, Kol HaKadim Zocher. I think it's only by the Abbe Megalech on the Zira Sodhi.
So the Bukhar would fall upon the Bukhar to bring those karbanas?
I don't know. I would think that it's for both of them. I don't know. Interesting, Shaila. What if you have two sons? What would it do? Gemara talks a lot about the Yorshim bringing the karbanas of the father. Machlok Satanai, whether the Yorish does smicha, whether the Yorish can make tmura. Not allowed to, but if he makes tomorrow, then it would be chal. So it's a machlokes hatanaim, whether in order to be the bala korban to do smicha and to be able to do tomorrow, you have to have the full kapara, even a mikzas balam is enough. But the Gemara never talks about the two sons. I don't know, it's a good question. Anyway, these are two different dinaf ha-ben kom tachasoviv. Then we have a pasuk in the Chumash that a murderer gets the death penalty, and if he killed b'shoigeg, has to run to one of the ori miklot. So the pasuk has the expression "Hashem loitzada," if it's not premeditated murder, but lekimin eliyadus men hashamayim, it's not his fault. They don't give him the death penalty. He has to run to the ori miklot. So the question begs itself. Rashi says the question begs itself: if it's not his fault, so why does he have to go to the ori miklot? So Rashi quotes a whole medrash that comments on the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that says, "Kashirem haMoshel haKadmonim Erishoyim Yetzei Resha." As the ancient proverb goes, "HaMoshel haKadmonim Erishoyim Yetzei Resha." Evil always emanates from bad people. So if Ben Hashamayim, the Gemara has an expression, "Megalgalim Schus Al Yedei Zaka V'Choyv Al Yedei Chayov." That if the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants to bring about a good thing in the world, he wants to give a new din. So let's say the B'nai Salofchot raised the question, did the daughters get Yerusha when there were no sons? So they raised the question, and they went down in history as the ones who asked the question. Then Moshe Rabbeinu told them over the dinim of Yerusha. So that's Megagolam Schus Al-Yedei Zaka. They are mentioned in the Chumash. They get the Schus to be mentioned in the Chumash because it was Al-Yedeyim. That the parsha of Yerusha was told to Bnei Yisrael. Same thing, Pesach Sheni, the people with Tmeim and Nefesh Adam. So the Esther Shaila, so they were zeicha that the din of Pesach Sheni was given because of their Shaila. Rav Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas. So he all the Swarm have tshuvas. Each tshuva is written to somebody. So they have a schus that their name appears in the Igros Moshe, or your name appears in the tshuvas Chasam Seif and the Rebbe Yehuda. That's a schus, a megalglam schus al-yidei zakai. And sometimes megalglam choyv al-yidei chai, when the Rebbeinu Shalom wants to bring about a terrible punishment or something, so he'll pick men ha-shamayim, an Adam Rosh, who deserves a punishment anyway, and I'll have him do the shlichas l'ro. He'll do the bad thing. So that's what the Medrash, that Rashi quotes, says over here. Well, the kimein al-yadu is men ha-shamayim, they picked him to be the shlich l'ro, that he should kill this person accidentally, he must have done something wrong before, from which he deserves to be punished. But the Beis Din didn't catch him. So now Min HaShamayim, they'll cause him to kill someone, B'Shegek, so he'll have to suffer. I'll have to go to the Ori Miklot and stay there at Mois HaKohen Agol. So Rashi quotes this Medrash, commenting on that Pasuk, says, what is the Moshal HaKadmoni? That's the Torah. Shehu Mishalosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kadmono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the ancient one with the capital A. He was there before the whole world came into existence. Before he created the world, he was there. He was the Kadmono Shel Olam. And what do you mean, a Moshal HaKadmoni? It's not an ancient proverb. Moshal HaKadmoni, it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his Svarim, Shem Olam. The Chafetz Chaim has a few different Svarim. Many other Svarim, several other Svarim don't talk about Lashon Hara at all. He was known for Chafetz Chaim, Shmir Saloshim, about Lashon Hara, and Rechilis, and so on. But he has other Svarim that just talk about Hashkofa. So in the Sefer Shem Olam, it doesn't talk about Lashon Hara. He has a little bit on this Medrash that Rashi quotes, that the Chumash, from the beginning to the end, is a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, you have to study the Chumash, and you'll understand. Mashal HaKadmoni, Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only does it mean it's a Mashal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter, but it's a Mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the dinim in the Chumash. And you put everything all together, the Taryag Mitzvahs give a presentation of what Elokus is all about. It's a description of Elokus. That's what the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havagod Elokeinu, that Birchas HaTorah is their Isa. Before you're about to learn, you're required to recite Birchas HaTorah in the Gemara and Brochas. So the Marsha comments on the Gemara. What do you mean, Kishem Hashem Ekra? We're learning Chulin from the beginning of the year. How often did we bump into Shem Hashem? We don't come into Shem Hashem. Maybe if you learn 30 blot a day, then you come across Shem Hashem every day. We don't learn so much. So why does the Pasuk say Kishem Hashem Ekra V'Gadol? The Masha says that the Gemara is assuming, like the Zohar says, the Ramban in the Hakdamah, his commentary on Chumash, quotes a passage from the Zohar, Kol HaTarukula Shmosa B'Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire Chumash, from the beginning to the end, is a description of Elokus. When you say Hashem, means that you're describing the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the whole Torah is a description of Elokus. It's a Moshal HaKadmoni. So this is the Rashi on the Pasuk. Elokim Inu L'Yodai, that the Chafetz Chaim explained so interesting in his fashion. Torah has a din that if you have an Eved Kenani and you knock out Shem V'Yayin, the Eved Kenani goes free. The din does not apply to Amo Ivriya, and the din does not apply to Eved Ivri, only to Eved Kenani. Is Yotze B'Shem V'Yayin, B'Chof Tavlet Rosh Eivar, Shem V'Yayin, in addition to the Chof Tavlet Rosh Eivar. When the Eved Kenani is Yotze B'Shem V'Yayin, does he need a Shtar Shichur? Or is Yotze just like this? So that's a big machlekes HaTanoim, and then one Tana splits, and he says that Shem V'Yayin, which is Torah Shebichsav explicit in Chumash, then there's no need for a Shtar Shichur. But on the other Chof Daled Rosh Eivarim that are not explicit in the Chumash, that's Torah Shebal Peh, so for those you would need a Shtar Shichur. So that's an interesting distinction. Why should you distinguish between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh? Shem V'Yayin is Torah Shebichsav, and the other Chavtal and Rosh Eivarim is Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore it makes a difference. You got to understand what that's all about. Pasuk has a din that if you harm someone else, the Chumash says, Ayin tach asayin, shein tach ashein. So the Torah Shebal Peh says that it's not to be taken literally. The Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayis writes that the Mishnayis is the Torah Shebal Peh, and there are five parts to the Torah Shebal Peh. It's an important hakdama the Rambam has to the Pirush HaMishnayis. He says, Torah Shebal Peh consists of five sections. He says, one section are the halachas l'Moshe M'Sinai. Tefillin have to be square, tefillin have to be black. Halachas l'Moshe M'Sinai, the Rambam defines as a din that there's no way to derive it by reading in between lines. There's no midrash turned to dreshes bam. It's an oral tradition from generation to generation. Hataras Nandorim. Hataras Nandorim. In the Chumash, it talks about Hafaras Nandorim. The father or the husband has the right to be Mefa Nidre Bito Nidre Ishto. The Rebbe says in the Chumash that the Bezdin has the ability to be Mata Neder. So the Mishnah in the end of the first paragraph of Chagiga, the last Mishnah says, Het and Adarm Pochem Boavir, Vein Lehem Al Neshe Yismochum. Pochem Boavir means sound waves. Hatars and Darm is transmitted orally, Halacha Moshe Messina, from generation to generation. Sound waves, Pochem Boavir, Vein Lehem Al Neshe Yismochum. There's no way to read it in between the lines. There is no way to darshan bidash hatar nidreshes bem, to come up with hataras and darm. Then other tanoim there, on the last daf in the first parak in Chagiga, disagree. They say, yeshal mamashe ismocha, you don't need a halachal mashe in Sinai. You can't darshan it from the psukim. So that's a machloikas. It's clearly Torah Shabbal Peh, but it's a hataras and darm. It's not Torah Shabbal Chlab, it's Torah Shabbal Peh. But it's a machlekes hatanaim. Is it halachal mashe in Sinai? Or is it based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Dresh HaSbem? So the Rambam has, there are five parts to the Torah Shabbal Peh. There are halachas that are derived based on Midrash HaTorah and the Dresh HaSbem. Then there are halachas L'moshe M'sina. There's no way to derive it by reading in between the lines. Then he says there's a third category of Torah Shabbal Peh, Pirushim HaMukubolim L'moshe M'sina. We have traditions that's what the phrase means. Like over here, Ayatach HaSayim. We have a tradition that it's in every language there are expressions that have certain connotations. And if you just want to translate the words literally, you're going to look in the dictionary, translate every word literally, you're going to be missing the connotation. Every language has like that. So ayin tachas ayin, our tradition has it, that it means mammon. And the Rambam says, Mayolam, every generation there were batidinim, no bezdin in the world ever paskin, ayin tachas ayin mamish. Everybody from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu on, everybody always paskin mamon. That's from the Pirushim Hamukubalim of Moshe Messina. The Rambam says priyetz hoder means an esrog. Maybe it means a good-looking fruit that you enjoy, an orange. Who says an esrog? No. Rambam says that from the Pirushim Hamukubalim of Moshe Messina. The Gemara tries to give hoychachas from the pasuk that it's really an esrog, but it wasn't established. The Rambam says it wasn't established based on the drushas from the pasuk. It's when the Pirush and Muhammad Kubbalim and Moshe Messina. There is a tradition that's the Pshat. And then the Rama has a fourth and a fifth section of the Torah Shabbal Peh. He has all the Takonis the Rabbanan and all the Gzeris the Rabbanan. That's four and five. That's interesting. The Rama seems to be implying in his Agnama to the Pirush HaMishnayis that all of the Dinim the Rabbanan, even though the Chavis HaGabra to observe the Dinim the Rabbanan is only the Rabbanan, but all the dinim blend in to become an integral part of the Torah Shabbal Peh in HaTorah. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought. When a person learns dinim derabbanan, he's in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah deraisa. The Chovas Agarva, the obligation to read the Megillah and Purim is only derabbanan. But you learn Maseches Megillah, that's a key mamitzvah. You learn all the dinim, that's a key mamitzvah deraisa. Because the dinim derabbanan, the gzeres derabbanan, with the mitzvahs derabbanan, become part of the Torah Shabbal Peh. It blends in to become part of the Torah Shabbal Peh. So it's interesting, there is a rush in Bava Kamma, in the second Perek. The Gemara quotes the din of Tzruris, that if a behemoth walks into the Chumash, has in this week's Seven Mishpatim, behemoth walks into the Chatzah Nizik, and it causes damage. Shem beregel. So Shem beregel is chay bebir b'sdeyachet. Shem beregel is only chay b'shus ha-nizik. It's not chay of b'shus ha-rabim. Karen even is chay of even b'shus ha-rabim. Shem beregel is only chay b'shus ha-nizik. So the... So the Gemara says that we Rashi and Tosis and the Rosh Lam, we have a halacha l'moshe m'sina of tzururis. If the animal didn't destroy something by walking in the chatzar nizik, the animal is walking the chatzar nizik, and accidentally pebbles are flying out the way the behemoth walks. Normally, pebbles fly out, and the pebbles fly in the air, and they smash a glass, or they kill a chicken, or something like that. So then tzururis is only chayv chatzin nizik. So the Gemara raises the question, how do you understand this chatzin nezik? Is it, it's really koichoi, when the behem is mazik agdei kocho, behem is mazik directly, that's shem v'reg, behem is mazik agdei kocho, that's called tzurus. Let's say you have a tarnagol screeches very loud, because of the loud screeching, it smashes a glass bottle, smashes a window. So the Gemara says that's tzuris. So the bala tarnigol only pays chatzin nezek. So the Gemara wants to understand what's the din. Is kochet kegufoy, and the halacha Moshe so should have been chayv nezek shalem, and the halacha Moshe misina is lahakel, then you only pay chatzin nezek, or should we say mikra din kochet laf kegufoy, and the halacha Moshe misina is lahachmer. So the Rava has this suffix. The Gemara says boy Rava. And then the Gemara says, "Basad the bayah the pashte." After he raised the suffix, it was poshed. They really kochet kegufan. Alachem Moshe Mesina is lahakel. So the Rosh points out on that Gemara in the beginning of the second parak in Bava Kamma. Every so often, the Gemara has a suffix, and basad the bayah the pashte was poshed. So he's always poshed the suffix based on a svara, based on a pasuk, based on a din. But here the Gemara just says, "Basad the bayah the pashte." It doesn't say how he was poshed the suffix. How did he come to that conclusion? Basa the bayah the pashta that really kochet kegufa should have been tzura should have really been chayv nezek shalem, and Allah Moshe Mesina is mekel on him that it's enough if he pays chatzin nezek. So the Rosh raises that question. The Gemara doesn't say how was Rava Pesha deceived by. How did he come to the conclusion that he arrived at? So the Rosh says the answer is that Allah Moshe Mesina is always lahakel. He quotes the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah sounds like it says like that. So the Mekubalim say like that, that the Torah Shebichsav, we would use an expression, is etched in stone. It's very rigid, and it represents din, strict din. And the Torah Shebichsav was given a midas adin. And the Torah Shebapeh was given a midas arachmim. It's softer. So one example is over here. The Torah Shebichsav says, Ein tachas ein. Sounds like you take out an eye for an eye, take out the guy's eye. And the Torah Shebapeh says, don't take it literally, it doesn't mean like that. Torah Shebichsav was given in Midas Adin, and Torah Shemalpeh was given in Midas Rachmim, with Mekel on the person. So that's what you see from this pasuk, Gayin Tachazayin. The Pshuto Shal Mikra, it doesn't mean literally Gayin Tachazayin. That's what it sounds like. But the Pirushim Amkubalim and Moshe Mesina say that shouldn't be taken literally. What's a din of Yom or Yamayim? If you have an Eved Kenani and you kill him, you chayv misa. An Eved Kenani is chayv mitzvus keisha. Eved Kenani is a Jewish person. He has at least a partial kedushas Yisrael. You chayv misa. But what if you hit the Eved Kenani because he doesn't want to do the work that he's supposed to do? So then the Torah says, "Yom or Yamayim Yamod." If he survives a day or two. Which is it, a day or two? Which is it? So the Torah Shabbateh says, Yom HaYamayim means Meis Leis. If he survives 24 hours, lo yukam, then you don't take the Nekama, you don't give the death penalty. So the Rambam says that it's obvious that it means that he hits the Eved Kenani because the Eved Kenani doesn't want to do the work. If he's a normal Eved Kenani and he shoots him with a gun and he dies a month later, the Odom will be Chayv Misa. It's only if he hits him because the Eved Kenani is negligent, he's not doing the work. So I remember when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, we had a Rebbe who passed away at a young age. I remember on his deathbed, the Talmidim went to visit him in the hospital. He died from cancer. So he said he always had a suffix on this din of Yom HaYamayim. Would there be a din of Komlei B'dirab Minei? The Odon who killed the Eved, but the Eved survived 24 hours, so the Odon is not Chayim Misa. Is he basically, it's like Chayim Misa Shoigigim? He really did the avera of the sicha, but the Torah patters him from the onus. So you would still say komle with the rabbinay. If he made a hezek simultaneously with the ritzicha, it would be potter. You say no. The way the Rambam explains, the Yom HaYamayim is hitting the eved because the eved doesn't want to do the work that he's mechuyev to do. So maybe by definition, it's not called ritzicha at all. Maybe there wouldn't even be any komle with the rabbinay. So he said he didn't know of any gemaras where this was discussed. The Chumash has a din of Komlei b'derabine in today's parsha. It says, Demei velodis. Ki notza anoshim, two men are fighting. V'no kli shohar, and they bump into a pregnant woman, and she loses the baby. She has a miscarriage because of the fact that they pushed her. So, im lo ye'osam, if the woman does not lose her life, just the baby, the fetus died, then you pay the mevalodis. Venasa meflilim. The bezim will make them pay the mevalodis. And wasn't ye, if the woman loses her life, then you say, come, levi the rabbine, you don't have to pay the mevalodis. So Rashi and Tosis have a comment on the Gemara in Bava Kama, Dafayin on the base, and above Metzia also they have a comment. Whenever you have a case of Kom Levi de Rab Minei, and you're not Chayim, but the Balotzis and De Shamayim, you should pay. So that's famous from the Panim Yofas. Panim Yofas is a Sefer HaChumash by the author of the Hafloa. The Hafloa was the rabbi in Frankfurt, when Chassam Sofer was a child growing up in Frankfurt. Chassam Sofer learned by Rav Nosson Adler, who was a Kohen, and the rabbi in the community was a Levi, the Hafloa. Hafloa is a Rosh Yitevus Arab Pinchas Levi Ish Horowitz. That was the family name, was Horowitz. Many of the Horowitzes today are descendants from the Hafloa. The Hafloa had a brother, the Rebbe Reb Shmelka from Nicholsburg. He was the real Chassidish Rebbe. According to the Chassidish version, the two brothers were Talmidim of the Mezritcha Magid, who was the foremost student of the Baal Shem Tov. And they were both Hasidish. And due to a quirk in history, they were both invited to serve as Rabbanim in Germany and in Austria. So the Hafloa went to Frankfurt. The whole story, why did they take Chassidish Rav? Why didn't they take a normal rabbi? So it's a whole story, why? And the Rebbe Abshmelke was a rabbi in Nikolsburg. Nikolsburg is also a city in Austria, I think. So these two Chassidish tzaddikim were Rabbanim by the Yekes. So the Hafloa has that, so in his Sefer HaChumash, he has a lot of interesting comments, the Panim Yofas. So he has a comment that it says, Im lo ye'osan, if the woman doesn't lose her life, just there was a miscarriage, then the people who bumped into her, who caused her to have the miscarriage, have to pay the mevalodis to the father of the baby, v'nasam b'flilim. Nasim Aflilim means the Dayanim will make her pay. Al Meimer Tagamunkla says, Nasim Aflilim, Al Meimer Dayanayim, the Bezin Shalmata will make them pay. In Masan Yia, if the woman loses her life, then you say, Kom Levi Derab Minei. So the Balatz is Ishmael, they have to pay anyway, but it's not going to be Beflilim. The Bezin will make them pay. So that's the Mashmois of the Pasuk. There's no Kom Levi Derab Minei, Bezin makes them pay. When there is Kom Levi Derab Minei, Bezin won't make them pay, but the Balatz is Ishmael, you should pay anyway. And the Rishonim have added halachas based on this assumption that whenever you have a case of kam levi derab minei, but kol lotzis deshamayim, you really should pay the mamon. Then the Gemara has a din. Chumash has a din of koifer. If a shor tam kills the first time, second time, the third time, the shor is chayiv misa, but the bala shor is potter from paying anything. If the shor survived, they never gave the shor skila. That's the shor on this call. They were supposed to kill the shor the first time that it kills a person. But if they didn't kill the shor on this call, they didn't kill him, and it kills a person the fourth time, so then the bala shor, the shor gets skila, and the bala shor has to pay koifer. So the Gemara says that kufra kapara means that there are three types of tashlum in mamon. There's mamon, and there's knas, and there's kapara. So the difference, let's say, kefil, daludahei, ayinusim efatem, ayitzi shemra, this is schum kotzav, shloshim shaleved, is kefir ho'avodim, shloshim shaleved, that's a schum kotzav, that's all knas. So moide b'knas is potter. Moide b'mamin is chayv, hados ba'adin k'meirin, moide b'knas is potter. But kefir is kufra kapor, that's a third type of tashlumin. It's not mamin and it's not knas. Kapor is a different din. And in Taisus on the first daf in Eilun Iris, has a long Taisus on the Omid base, where they list off about six differences between kufra, between kapara on the one hand, as opposed to mamon knas on the other hand. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, Eid Echad is believed by kapara. Eid Echad is not believed in mamon knas. You need two Eidim for dini mamonis. But by a tashlum and of kapara, Eid Echad is believed. And Taisus has a Gemara, there's no kam levi d'rabbinei on kapar. There's kam levi d'rabbinei on mamon knas. You put the, if you chayiv misa, you chayiv the mamon knas simultaneously, so you don't have to pay the mamon. But if it's kapara, then you have to pay, despite the fact that there's a chayiv misa. Then there's a din, there's no kapara lach hamisa. let's say the person is chayiv momen aknas and he dies, so he can collect from the Yerusha. But if he was chayiv to pay some kind of a chayiv momen that's kapara, for example, kufr kapara, so then there's no kapara lachamisa, and you can't collect from the Yerushin, from the Yerusha. With a whole bunch of additional nafkaminas ledina, all series six, at least six, seven nafkaminas ledina between kapara on the one hand and momen aknas on the other. People don't pay so much attention to it, but there's a big tosfos on the an Amud Beis in the beginning of Perek Elonaris that there's 6-7 differences between momen aknas on the one hand and kapara on the other hand. Then the Torah has a din of a bob machteres. Beginning of Perek Chavis, the chapters in the Chumash were put in by the Christians, but we don't have any better way to identify where the pasuk is. So, unfortunately, we use the Christian system of identifying psukim with the chapter and the verse. So, in chapter Chavis, that's why some Talmid Chacham were makbet, they wouldn't say Perek Chavis. Perek sounds like it's a Jewish thing. So they would call it Kapitel Chavis. Kapitel is a dead giveaway that it's from the Christians. It's not from the Jews. So anyway, in chapter the first passing in chapter Chavis is Abobe Machteres is considered a roidev. He's prepared to kill the Balabayas in case the Balabayas will give him a hard time. He wants to burglarize the house. And he's coming, he's an armed fellow, and he's coming into the house. So if you kill him, Ein lo dam, you're not chayiv misa if you kill the Boba Machteres. So what kind of expression is that? Ein lo damim. So the in the Sefer HaDeres HaLiyoh, which is written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, most of the Svarim from the Vilna Gaon written by his Talmidim, the Bir HaGro on the Kabbalah Svarim and on the Shulchan Aruch, that was written by the Gro. And all the other Svarim from the Vilna Gaon were all by the Talmidim. So this Sefer HaDeres HaLiyoh on the Mishnayos and this HaDeres HaLiyoh on Tanakh, this was written by the Talmidim. So they say in the name of the Vilna Gaon, Ein lo damim means we consider the Boba Machteres as if his blood is no longer circulating. Ein lo damim, he doesn't have a blood circulation, and therefore if you shoot him, he's considered a gabra ktila. A Boba Machteres is a gabra ktila. So the Vilna Gaon seems to be learning Pashup Pshat in the Pasuk, what's the definition of life? Life depends on blood circulation. When the blood of the animal, the blood of the person is circulating, then the animal or the person is considered alive. If the blood is not circulating, and the circulation stops, then it's not considered alive anymore. Ein lo damim. Zarach Hashem Mishalav damim lo is considered as if he does have blood circulating in his system. The Torah Shabbat Peh, quoted by the Mechilta, has an additional level of interpretation in the Pasuk. Ein lo damim means a Boba Machteres is muta lahargo, because we treat him as if he doesn't have blood circulating, as if he's a gabrik tilo. But then there's another level of interpretation. Ein lo damim, the Boba Machteres doesn't have to pay if he smashes anything. Damim tarti mashman. Damim means blood circulating, and damim means paying cash. If there's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Abob and Machteres and Shiber Sakelim, we say, Kom Levi de Rabbinei. Kom Levi de Rabbinei is learned out from the Emos and Yim and Asat and Nefesh Tachos Nefesh by the Dmei Velodis like that. So you only know Kom Levi de Rabbinei if a person did an aver for which Bezin has the right to give him the death penalty. Here, Abob and Machteres is nitan lahatzila benafsho. You have a right to kill the Bob Machteres in order to save the one who lives in that home. The Bob Machteres is a potential raider. If he's prepared to kill the Balabais, if he's going to give him a hard time, he wants to burglarize the house. So it's a chiddush that you say kom levi de rabbinei there. He's not really chayiv misas bezla, just nitan lahatzila benafsho. You're allowed to kill him to save the life of the Balabais who lives there. So the Mechilta has a tradition. Ein lo damim, the Boba Machteres doesn't have to pay. Even in this case, he also say, Kom Levi de Rabbinei. It's learned down from the Pasuk. You wouldn't be able to say it on your own based on the Pasuk by the Mevelodis that you have Kom Levi de Rabbinei. It's a separate Pasuk. Imotzi simotzi biyodo hagneva. So the Gemara learns that from that Pasuk that there's a Kinyan Yad. The Gemara has two Pasuk and one Pasuk by Get. That yad is a kinyan by the get, and yad is a kinyan by the ganav over here. The Gemara says, not only yad, chotzer is also. The Gemara learns out chotzer both by the ganav as well as by the get or isha. And then the Gemara says, if you would have only had the pasuk by the ganav, you can say it's a special punishment. Maybe in Kol Tarkula, yad and chotzer are not kind. Maybe it's only an exception to the rule here by the ganav. And if you wouldn't have this pasuk, you'd only have the pasuk by the get, you would have thought it's a special thing by the get. But now that you have the both pasukim, the pasuk v'nasam b'yoda by the get, v'smatzah b'yoda agneva by the ganav, so from these two you learn in Kol HaTarkula that there is both a kinyan yad as well as a kinyan chotzer. You learn that from this pasuk. The pasuk happens to be speaking about the ganav making a kinyan geneva. The ganav is only chayv kefa dal v'hei if he made a kinyan geneva. On the item, you can make a kinyan eva. I steal something, I hold it in my hand, or I steal something and I put it in my automobile and I drive off with it. That's a kinyan chatzer. When you put something in your pocket or you put something in your automobile, that's called the kinyan chatzer. Kelev shel adam have a din of kinyan chatzer b'chol makom she'esh lo rishus lahanicham. If you have a right to leave it there, then it's kind of with the kinyan chatzer. Then the Gemara has the din of Shem v'regel b'shus hanizik, and it says when you pay for the hezek, you have to pay meitav. There are three levels of, we divide all real estate into three categories. There's idis, beninis, and ziburis. So the Shem v'regel have to pay idis. The opening Mishnah in Bava Kamma says, and the opening Sugya in Bava Kamma says, the din of idis, meitav, is not restricted only to Shem v'regel, even on the Chumash. Only says, b'Shem v'regel, the Gemara says, it applies to all the chavtal, ravas, and zikin. Everybody pays meitav. The Gemara says, learned that through a gigantic zerah shavah. Tachas and sinah yishalim kesef. You learn out that all the choftal, rovus, and zikin, you have to pay meitav. Minchas Chinuch poses a question, how come you don't pay meitav by halvoah? By halvoah, it's a machlekes. One opinion was, but that opinion was rejected, that minatari pay meitav. It's only midirabbanan that they lowered it to beinanis. And we hold the reverse. And at Torah, the Loivik can get away with paying Ziburis. With the Rabbanah, they elevated it. He can't get away with Ziburis. He has to give Beinanis. Why don't you say it should start off, should be Meitav, if you have Gzerah Shavah, Tachas, Nisim, Inshalom, Kesef, all the Choftal, Rovus, and Zikan, they all pay Meitav. They couldn't find the Pasuk by Halvoah to extend the Gzerah Shavah also. So the Minchas Chinuch explains, they weren't interested in finding Gzerah Shavah. They held there's a difference in Halacha. Halvoah is a hischayvus midas. That's what we call a milva she'enik silver batur. Milva means a chov mamon. It doesn't only mean a halvoah. Halvoah is a monetary obligation that the person accepted upon himself. So if it's a hischayvus midas, a milva she'enik silver batur, even if it weren't written in the Torah, we would know he's chayv to pay because he accepted the obligation, he accepted the commitment. So that's ziburis. All the choftal arabas and zikan achayulim mamon that the Torah imposes. When the Torah imposes a chiv, that's called milba haksuva batorah, chiv mamon that the Torah imposes, then you have to pay meitav. But if it's a chiv mamon that the person accepts upon his own, then min haTorah you don't pay meitav, you only pay ziburis, and then it's midirabbanan. They said that you can't get away with giving, loiv, you can't get away with giving ziburis, he has to give at least beinanis. But the original pasuk says by Shem v'regel only. Then you have the pasuk that Eish is Koyach Hacham Yerubak. He said, "Say Eish." He was negligent. He didn't. He thought that he put out the fire, and he didn't. And then the fire spread, and it burnt down other people's property. Because the big hefsid mammon. So it says, "Nachum Shalem Shalem Hamavir Es HaBeera." We consider him an Adam Hamazik Hamavir. It starts off, "He said, 'Say Eish Meyatzma Mashma.'" Sounds like he was negligent, and he wasn't careful. And the fire spread. And we call him Amaris HaBeris. So that's what the Amaris said. That's right. Isho Mishum Chitzov is considered as if he shot an arrow. He's considered Adam Amazik. It's not considered Maman Amazik. It's considered Adam Amazik. That's a big machlekes, but the Isho Mishum Chitzov is a din in Kol HaTarkula, or it's only a din in the Zikin. That's a big Rav Avala Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on the Rambam. He discovered a Chidush Aran, a Sanhedrin. And he goes to town with his Chidush Aran, that it's only a din in the Zikin. It's not a din in Kol HaTarkul. And Tosis disagrees. Tosis asks the Kasha. The Mishnah says, Nafla Sakino. The person left a knife on a shelf, and then the wind is blowing, and a chicken happens to be walking by, chirping all along, and the wind blows the knife, and it falls down, and it cuts the chicken. So he was negligent. He left the knife, and the wind blows. You should say, you should say that the person did the shechita. So the Mishnah says it's no good, because you need Karach Gavram. That's the Mishnah we learned already. Nafla sakina ha'ipila dumi. The nafla would have been good even though he didn't have kavana shechita. But if it wasn't a pila, nafla, it's no good because there's a lack of Karach Gavram. So Tosfos is bothered by the kasha, but if you say isha mishum chitzav, so it should be considered Karach Gavram. So Tosfos suggests maybe the Gemara there is going with the shita isha mishum amono. You don't say isha mishum chitzav. And we really don't hold like that. We say, no, we hold Isha Mishum Chitzav. But still, whenever you need Karach Gavra, Isha Mishum Chitzav is not going to help. That's what Rav Chaim and the Chazon Ish, they comment like that. They quote the Tosfos in Sanhedrin, says like that. Isha Mishum Chitzav is not going to help to be considered Karach Gavra. You have to actually have intention of doing the Maisi itself. The Torah has Shavuos HaShomrim. The Torah has Arba HaShomrim. Out of the four Shomrim, the Torah spells out the din for three of them. The Torah never says what the din is by a socher. One who rents a tuxedo, a person rents it on a reveal, is he dinik kishamachinim or is he dinik kishamachinim? Is he chayv only in pshir? Is he chayv in an aveda? That's not like a satanayim. The Chumash doesn't say. But the Chumash spells out the din of a shamachinim and a shamachinim and a shoyl. So there's such a thing as Shavuos HaShomrim. It says, Ha'alakim Yovet Rashneim, and so on. There's a Shavuos HaShomrim. Then there's a din of Shavuos Moedim and Mikzos. Hashem Kihuzeh, Kihuzeh Veloizeh. He's Moedim and Mikzos and Kaifim and Mikzos. So we learn that Shavuos Moedim and Mikzos from the Pasuk. Then the third din of Shavuos Eidechad, not learned that from this parasha, learned that from the other parasha in Chumash Dvarim, that you need two Eidim to be Moitzi Mammon, but to be Mechayev Shvua, Eid Echad would be sufficient to be Mechayev Shvua. So these are the three Shvuas that arise in the area of Dinim Mammon. Shvuas Moedim Mikzas, Shvuas HaShomrim, that's in today's Parsha, and Shvuas Eid Echad, that's based on Psukim and other Parshas. These are the three Shvuas that arise. There's a Shvua that arises by Shvuas HaSoita. That's a different, that's not a Dinim Mammon, it's Din Torah. Shavuos HaSoita, the husband is suspicious of his wife. He thinks she's having an affair with someone else. He brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, and you have the right to Megillah Soita, make her swear that she's innocent, and so on. So Shavuos HaSoita is a Shavuos of Yisra Leheter. But nonetheless, the Gemara learns that. One would have thought, the Mamonim Yisur Lo Yafin, how can you learn out one from the other? Yisra Leheter is one area of Halacha, and Dinim Mammon is a different area of Halacha. So nonetheless, the Gemara learns out Gilgul Shavuos, from Shavuos HaSoita, because by the Soita in Parshas Naso, it says, Hishbi HaKarnas Isha V'yam Rehisha Amen, Amen. What do you mean, Amen, Amen, twice? Amen Mi'ish Zeh, Amen Mi'ish Acher. She swears she was not mezana with the man that her husband has choshed her. She says she was not mezana with anybody else either. The husband wants her to swear. He's only suspicious of one particular person. He thinks that she's having an affair with that person. But the other person is not suspicious. But nonetheless, he can insist that he wants her to swear she wasn't mizana with anybody. That's called Gilgul Shavuah. So the Gemara derives, just like, so too, it's a chiddush, just like by Shavuah Saita, the husband can insist he wants to be Megalgal Shavuah. Amen, 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 miyizda, amen, miyishacher. So too, if you have a dintara where the fellows might even mix us. At least if you had a dintara between the same two people, it was Koifa HaKol. So today, that is might have been mixed on a different amount of money, and you get him in a hold, you get him in a situation. He has to swear Shavuos might have been mixed, and now you can be megagal on him. I want you to swear about the money that we were arguing about last year. You denied it. You said you're koy for hakol. You said it's not true. You're not going to pay. You don't owe the money. I want you to swear now. So that's, you learn that Gilgul Shavuah from Shavuos Soita to Shavuos Mammon. And it is a problem. We usually have a klal. Mamayna mi yisur le'yafina. Yisur mi mamayna le'yafina. How can you learn that Gilgul Shavuah from Shavuos HaSoita to Shavuos HaDayanim? it is an issue. It is a problem. Mamayim yisur lo yafina. But that's what the Gemara says. You do learn now. And then the pasuk has the dinim of mefata. Oynis mefata pay 50 shekel kesef. Motzi shemer pays 100 kesef. So why do you pay 50 shekel kesef by oynis mefata? So it says kesef yishkol kemohar habesulos. Mohar habesulos means at the time of matan Torah, the common practice was when a boy got married to a girl who was never married before, she's a psula. So he would commit himself to give her a ksuba of Masayim Zuz, 50 shkolim. So this man who is ma'anis or mefata, the girl, he's mafsid her. Now if she's going to marry anybody, she's not going to get the ksuba of Masayim Zuz, 4 zuzim and a shekel, so it's 50 shkolim, because she's not a psula anymore. So because he was mafsid her, the ability to get a ksuba of Masayim Zuz, that's why kesef yishkol, kemor habsulis, he has to make good, he has to pay her. So that's a big machlokes in ksubas. Do you derive from this pasuk that there's such a thing as ksuba deraisa? That whoever gets divorced from his wife is mechuyev to pay ksuba. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Mor habsula. So no, the Chumash is describing what was a common practice bizman matan Torah. But Torah is not saying that you're mechuyev to pay the ksuba. It says that the Ribbono Shel Olam established the halacha that oynis mefata pei chamishim shekel kesef, because in the time of matan Torah, that's what they usually would give as a ksuba. So because he's ma'anis mefata, he was mafsid of the ability to get a ksuba, that's why he should pay that. But it doesn't really say in the Chumash that the husband who divorces his wife is b'chayv to pay a ksuba. Just assuming that that was the common practice, that there was an institution on moyer habesulas, but you were not really mechuyev to pay it. So that's a big machlek, but the ksuba deraisa, lav deraisa. Most of the Rishonim hold ksuba lav deraisa. That's the accepted opinion. And Tosfos in ksubas, and Daf Yud, I think, Tosfos holds the ksuba is deraisa. But I said, that's why he says in the ksuba, the chazi lichem deraisa, that she's entitled to. The Ashkenazim have that in the ksuba. The chazi lichem deraisa. So the Ramo and Eben Ezra quotes from the Rosh. The Rosh said, that's not what it means, the chazi lichem deraisa. What it means is, I owe you the ksuba, the chazi lichi, and mederaisa means, what kind of coins am I giving you? I have to give, the man divorces his wife, and he has to give her 50 shkolim. So the Gemara points out in different places that in the days of the Tanaim, there are two monetary systems that are running concurrently in Eretz Yisrael. Like here in America, there's a Canadian coin system and American coin system. So the both systems are the same. You have pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters, half a dollars and dollars. But the Canadian dollar is not always the same as the American dollar. Sometimes American dollar is stronger, sometimes the Canadian dollar is stronger. Fluctuates back and forth. So in the days of the Tanaim, there were two monetary systems in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Kesef Tzuri system and a Kesef Medina system. And each system, both of the systems had the same. Had a penny, a nickel, a dime, and a quarter, and half a dollar, and the whole story like that. But each coin on the Kesef Tzuri system was worth 8 times the counterpart on the Kesef Medina system. So the Gemara says, whenever it comes to Chiyav Mamad Deraisa, like Shloshim Shalev, and Oynes HaMefata, Motzi Shemra, Machtas HaShekel, whenever it comes to these Dine Mamad, so then you have to pay according to the higher system, Kesef Tzuri. Whenever it's a Mishnah that says there's a penalty in the Rabbani, you got to pay money, so that's assumed that it's Kesef Medina. So we write in the Ksuba, Chazi Lichem Deraisa, we don't mean that she's entitled to the Ksuba Menator. Ksuba is Lav Deraisa. We mean she's entitled, the Rabbana, to collect Ksuba in Kesef Tzuri system. Why? Because the Chumash talks about the Ksuba. It was a minig, it was a practice bizman matan Torah. By the non-Jews, there was such a practice. They would give a ksuba, mor hapsulus, they give a ksuba. That'll be worth 50 shkolim. So that's what we mean when we write the chazilich emid deraisa. We don't mean that ksuba is deraisa. We paskan shulchanot like rov rishon that ksuba is lav deraisa. Chazilich emid deraisa means she's entitled to collect on the kesef tzuri system. But the whole collecting, the whole being entitled to collect, is in Gansa Midrabbanan. It's not really meant up there. Then we have from the middle of Mishpatim till the end, Kesef Talve Esami. If you look in the beginning, the first few pages in the Sefer HaChinuch, so he has, Sefer HaChinuch is a listing of the Taryag Mitzvahs in the order that they appear in the Chumash, Parsha by Parsha. So he has Parshas Bereishis, he has Pru Revu, then he has the Parsha has Gid Anoshe, Vayishlach, he has Gid Anoshe, and then he has Parshas Boi. He has all the dinim of chametz and korban pesach and matzah and mor and so on. He goes in order. So he tells you which parsha it is and how many mitzvahs there are. And the parsha mishpatim, he has two parshas, Ela mishpatim and parshas in kesef tal ve'ezami. He used to lay it on two different weeks. Mishpatim used to be divided into two different sedras, and there were two different haftaras. One read the first week when they read up until in Kesef Tal V'Zami, and one was the second week. They used to squeeze in seven aliyahs in the first half. The next week, they would put in seven aliyahs in the second half. It was really a different sedra, a different parsha of Shavua. Kesef Tal V'Zami. I don't think there are any shuls, but they still do it today. Other Rishonim also had such a split, that from Kesef Tal V'Zami, they did next week. It's a separate sedra. We have a din that Haidos Bal Din Kemeo Einim Domi. How did the Tanoim figure that one out? How do you know Haidos Bal Din is Kemeo Einim Domi? So Rashi writes in the beginning of Bav Metzia that it's based on the Pasuk and today's Sedra about Shuas Moedim Mitzas. Kol Hashem Ki Huze Beloi Zeh. He said, this is what I'm Chayim and that's not what I'm Chayim. So he's Moedim Mitzas. So you learn from that Parsha there's a Shuas Moedim Mitzas, but you also learn that if the person is Maida, Haidu'az Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami. That's a discussion in the Ktsois and Achrenim. Haidu'az Baldin Kamei Eidim Dami means that the person is believed. He has namonis to say that he owes the money. Or maybe he doesn't have namonis. Maybe Haidu'az Baldin is a method to create a hischaivus. That's what Achrenim talk about that. And there's such a parallel din. It's a person makes a hados baldin, but in the area of Yisuveheta, he says, this woman is my sister. Two people come to die. He says, this woman is my sister. We have no evidence that the woman is his sister. He says, that is my sister. And then later on, he wants to marry her, and he says, it's not true. I made up a lie. So we don't believe him. We say, Shavi anafshe chaticha di yisura. You originally said that that's your sister. So we... That's a machlokes. What is the nature of the din of Shavi Anav Shechaticha di Yisur? The Samishanim say, the Ktzai says that it's Nemonis. Just like Hados, Babdin, Kameinim, Dami, and Mammon is Nemonis, so too Shavi Anav Shechaticha di Yisur. Orim Neman al Atzmo, Benola, Ben Atzmo, Li Atzmo. He's Neman on himself to say that he's Chayiv Mammon. And others disagree. They say, no, that Hados, Babdin is his Chayivus, it's not a Nemonis. The Shavi Anavshi is also like Mitam Neder, as if you're accepting a Neder. But that's not the Pashtus. Pashtus says that Shavi Anavshi is Namonis, and Hodos Badin Kanein and Dami is also Namonis. But again, the Chinuch and several other Rishonim have Kesef, Tal Ve'esami, that's chapter Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Dalet, is a new Sedra. The Parsha of Mishpatim and the Parsha of Shavua ended by that Pasuk, and this Pasuk starts next, the next Parsha of Shavua. Kesef Tal Ve'esami. Pasuk has it, then Nasi Biyamcha lo Sa'or. You're not allowed to curse the Melech. Nasi is the Melech. Rambam Chumash is not sure. The word Nasi sometimes refers to the Rosh HaSanhedrin. So is the Rosh HaSanhedrin included here, or should we assume Nasi Biyamcha lo Sa'or only applies to the Melech? The Gemara has a din in the Parshas Vayikra. If a private individual is Machal Shabbos B'Shegig, he brings a Kizbo Hasira. A person violated an Aver B'Shegig, which if he wouldn't have violated it, amazed it, he wouldn't have Machayv Kores, a Kosh has done a Kores, and Shigigos HaChatos. So he brings a Kizbo Hasira. And what if it's the Melech, Hashem, or say Yechto, the Melech, did the Avera? So then the Gemara, the Pasuk says he has to bring a Sawyer Nasi. So the Gemara in Hurry says Sawyer Nasi is only if he's the Melech. If he's the Rosh HaSanhedrin, is not included in that din of Sawyer Nasi. But the way the Gemara presents it, it sounds like it's a local din by the Sawyer Nasi, but by the Klala, the Lava of Nasi B'Yamcha Lo Sawyer, the Pashtus is that the Rosh HaSanhedrin should be included in the Pasuk. Not that this Pasuk is also restricted only to the Melech. But the Ramban is misupit. Ramban is not sure. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs has a whole attack against the Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos was a Sefer HaMitzvahs written in the days of the Gaonim, way before the Rambam. So the Rambam is the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs is based on the Bahag and the Halachas Gedolos, but he modified a lot of things. So he attacks the Bahag, who counts the pasuk of Lo Sinof three times. There's a din in Eishes Sisha Zinsa is Chayevus Chenek. Nar Hamrasa Shazinsa is Chayevus Skila. And the Baskoin Shazinsa, who's an Eishes Sish, gets Srefa. So the Baha counts it as three different lav. Even though it's only one pasuk, Lo Sinof is one pasuk. So the Rambam attacks the Bahag in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. How can you take one pasuk and count it three times? It's just that Anissa, Eishes Ish is not allowed to have an affair with anybody other than a husband. Eishes Ish is Zinsa. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam, he himself has two lavim which he counts twice. What are the two lavim? So one lav is Elikim Loisikalel, in today's Sedran Revi, Chatzi Asefa B'Psukim it says, Elikim Loisikalel has two levels of interpretation. One level is Elikim Lashon Kodesh, Hamgadef Es Hashem, Ezeva and Islav. And the other level of interpretation, Elohim Lasikalel, Lashon Chol, referring to a Dayan who has smicha. One who has smicha is called Elohim Lashon Chol. So there are two Isurim included in the Pasuk, and the Rambam counts it twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Shalol Lekalel Dayan, who has smicha, is called Elohim. And Shalol Lekala, Shalol Legadav His Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam himself counts it twice. Then you have the other pasuk also. Shmosu Lemachem Leisaskiru LaYisham Al Picha. It's in today's Sedra. So the Rambam counts that also twice. Shmosu Lemachem Leisaskiru, not to be Mesis someone else, not to try to convince someone else to worship Avodah Zarah. The Mesis is Chay Misa, but Einan Shemukem Asirin. You only give an Oina Shaguf of Malkus Amisa if the person violated an Avera. So what Avera did the Mesis violate? So the Gemara says he violates this law. Shmosi Lemachem Leis Haskir Leisham Al Picha, he violated this law. And the Rambam counts the law twice. Once is not to be Nishba B'Shem Avodah Zarah, and once is not to be Mesis Adam Yisrael. So that's the Ramban's Kasha. How come the Rambam counts two psukim, he counts himself twice. Then the Mishlei Melech points out that the Ramban could have asked another two psukim. The Rambam counts, there are four psukim that the Rambam counts twice in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. One is Elohim Lesekalel, and one is Shmos Alechem Lasaskir Leisham Al Picha. And the other two are Lesekalel Cherish, if you curse Odom Yisrael, you get Malkus, and if you Mekalel Lavima, you get Misa. So the lav is the same pasuk. So the Rambam counts that lav twice. Losikal cheresh, not to curse any Jew, and losikal cheresh, not to curse. There's the lav of mekala lav v'ima. Then there's a lav to chovel b'chavero. It says the shliach bezdin. If the bezdin determined that a person deserves malchus, 39 malchus or whatever, 18 malchus, however much, 9 malchus, however much he can take. So it says the shliach bezin should give him the malchus that he deserves. Lo yosef lakosa pen yosef lakosa alei lemakar rabbi minit lachicha leinecha. So the Gemara said that's the law for makar chavera for chovel b'chavera. Lo yosef lakosa, and the Rambam counts it twice. He counts it makar ovdim is chayv misa and makar chavera is chayv mamon. So he counts it as a lav not to hit parents and a lav not to be chayvah b'chavero. And here by Lesekal Cheresh also he counts it twice. Not to curse Odom Yisrael, if you do you get Malkus. Not to curse Avivim because you're going to get Misa. So the Rambam is the one who attacked Halachas Gedolos recounting the pasuk loisinaf three times. A nesua shouldn't be mizana, a nara hamarasa shouldn't be mizana, and a baskoin should not be mizana. The same pasuk, the Baha counts it three times. The Rambam himself has four psukim that he counts twice. That's the Ramban's kasha, and the Mishlam Melech asked that kasha. So on the side of the Rambam, on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you have the Megillas Esther, that was written by a man whose mother's name was Esther, and she passed away as it was going to print, so he wanted to memorialize his mother. They called the Sefer Megillas Esther. So he always defends the Rambam. So when he comes to defend the Rambam, he quotes from the Zohar HaRakia. Zohar HaRakia is a Sefer Minyan HaMitzvahs by the Rashbates. He comes to defend the Rambam. He says, Nara Hamarasa Shezinsa and Baskoin Shezinsa and then the Nesua Shezinsa, they're all Chayv Misa. Even though it's a different Einash Misa, one is Reifa, one is Chenek, and one is Skila, but they're all Chayv Misa. So since they're all Chayv Misa, the Rambam holds that should only be counted as one law. But these four psukim that the Rambam counted twice are sometimes Chayv Misa, sometimes Chayv Malkus. So how can it be? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva that a lav that you get Malkus is considered a lav kal, a lighter iser. And a lav for which you chayv misa is considered from the iser machamurim, it's more chomer. So what's the nature of these four lavim? Is it an iser chomer or is it an iser kal? It's what we would call an andragonist. It's both. So the Rambam holds, whenever you have a lav that sometimes gets misa, sometimes gets Malkus, you have to count it twice. Because the Chachamim had a tradition, it's both an Issa Chomer and an Issa Kal. So that's why the Rambam holds, since sometimes these four psukim, sometimes you get Misa, sometimes you get Malkus, must be that each one of the four psukim is a double love. That's what the Zohar HaRakia suggests to defend the Rambam. Difficult pasuk in today's Sedra, very difficult pasuk. What in the world does it mean? So the Gemara in the first parak in the beginning of Temura, the Gemara has an interpretation. We don't have a better pshat. We don't know any pshat. Means you shouldn't be mishana seda ha-hafroshes. You should first be mafresh bikurim, then mafresh to Megadola, then mafresh by Sevisha, and then mafresh by Sesheni. If you're Magdim, by Sevisha, to Truma, you're over on the lav. How does it fit into the Pasuk? It's problematic. Rashi has a lot of difficulty on that Gemara and Tmur, but that's what it says. Gemara says, this lav, Meyoscho, and the Machlosach, it goes, and one is Meshad and the Seder HaHafrashas. The Ibn Ezra has a humorous pshat that he quotes from one of the Karoim. Every so often, the Ibn Ezra quotes an interpretation with the Karoim, and he makes fun of it. So he says, Meliyoscha means when your wife is pregnant, she has a big belly. And Demacha means when the husband puts in the Sheikh Vazera into the wife. So you shouldn't postpone having children. So that's what he quotes from one of the Karoim. Then he says, so it should be written the reverse. It should say, Demacha Meliyoscha lo ta'acher. How come it has Meliyoscha first and then Demacha? Then until they said, well, he also quotes from one of the Karoim, Apshat Kigach Shari Shoreyehu. So he said, how do you translate Shoreyehu? One Shor was Nogech, its friend. Shoreyehu. So the Ibn Ezra makes fun of this Karoi. He says, the Shor only has friends. The Shor is buddy-buddy with this moron. And this Karoi said, Shoreyacha means the Shor belongs to a friend of yours. But it doesn't mean the Shor is a friend of the first Shor. The Shor don't have any friends. Every so often, the Ibn Ezra quotes a pshat from a Karoi, and he makes fun of him. And the pasuk has the din, if you have a bechor behema tahara born in your flock, so it has a kedushas korban, shivas yamim yeh tachasimo, b'yom hashmini titnoli. You can only bring this a korban on the 8th day. And there's such a pasuk later in the middle of Vayikra. Shor kesev eski yivali vayishel esam tachsem yamishmeinu v'holi yivat zekar benishel Hashem. Same din is over here. So Rav the Gemara in the first parak in Zvachim quotes Atana, who has a comment on the pasuk. Isn't there a contradiction? They quote the pasuk in Vayikra. Isn't there a contradiction between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk? It says shivos yamim tachasimo shivos yamim in 7 days. And then when the 7 days are up, the night of the 8th day, it should be Roy Lahakrava. Then it says, Bayom Hashmini. He wrote to the Korban Yishan. Bayom Hashmini means in the daytime, not in nighttime. But the first half of the Pasuk sounds like Shiva Sam Tachas. You know, Bayom Hashmini means the nighttime it's already acceptable. So it's a stira. So Gemara says the answer is Laila Lekedusha Vyom Lahartzoh. You're not allowed to be Makdish, an animal, within the first 7 days. Makdish, an animal, Yeroiva, and an Avera. But after the 7 days are up, it's Leil Shmini. Leil Shmini, you're allowed to be Magdashit, but you're not Makriv, it is a Korban. Yom Lahartzoh, Hakrovos HaKarbonos has to be Bayom. You can't be Makro Karbonos Balayim. So the Chasam Sefer, the Achrayim, the Chasam Sefer, and the Tshuva talks about it. Why did the Gemara make the Diyuk on the Pasuk in the middle of Chumash Vayikra? They should have said the Pasuk in Mishpatim comes earlier. Should have commented the same drosha on today's sedra and the passing of today's sedra. So the Chasam Sefer says, no, it's not the same. It comes up with a wapra of a chiddush. He says, in Kochim, the rule is that halayla halach achar yom. We all know that Shabbos and Yom Tov always begins from sundown to sundown. That's called hayom halach achar halayla. Shabbos begins at night, vayereb vayivoker. All the days begin at night, and then the day is nimshach till the shkia, the day hayom halach achar halayla, it follows the night. But in Kochim, the Gemara says it's not so. It's halayla halach achar yom. All the days begin in the morning. So he says, here in Mishpatim, the pasuk is talking, the animal was born abchor. Abchor is kodesh. So it's already Kochim. So it's halayla halach achar yom. So when you say the first 7 days, he can't be makriv the animal. Shivas yamim yeh imima b'yamashmini titno li. When do you count to shivas yamim? So he says, if an animal would be born, let's say, on Sunday night, animal was born last night, Sunday night, so it's a b'chor. So in Kochim, Hayom, Halayla Ho'elech Achrayom. So Sunday night belongs to Sunday. So Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, all 7 days. And Shabbos is over Matzoi Shabbos, because in Kochim, Halayla Ho'elech Achrayom, then you makrev the Korban, the beginning of the 8th day, so there's no contradiction. Shivas yamim yeh im imo, the first 7 days, the 7 days are up. If the behemoth was born on Sunday night, he said that Chasam Sefer says a chiddush. Sunday night, what would you say? Behemoth is born Sunday night, so Sunday night belongs to Monday. So Monday, when is the 8th day? Next Monday, if a baby is born on Monday. So the bris is next Monday, b'yam hashmini. Mila b'zmanet b'yam hashmini. So by korbanos also, he can't bring an animal as a korban the first 7 days. You have to wait till the 8th day. When is the 8th day? An animal is born Sunday night. Sunday night means Monday. So the 8th day is going to be next Monday. So the Chasam Sefer says wrong. He says Sunday night, since it was born a b'chor, it was born kochim already. He said the kochim, halayla halach achrayom, the Sunday night belongs to Sunday. So the 7 days are over. 7 days are over on Shabbos, and Sunday morning you can already bring the korban. Is that true? So he says in this parsha there's no stira. Shivas yamim yeh im imo, the 7 days are up when it comes the morning, because the laila holach achrayom. So the morning of the 8th days, right after the 7 days are up. So in our pasuk there's no stira. The only place that is stira in the pasuk of Vayikra. Shorah kesleis ki bali. It's born in Behemas Chulin. It's born in Behemas Chulin. So in Chulin, the din is Hayom Halach Achar Alayla. So the 7 days will be up at sundown. Shivas Yamim Tachasimo sounds like the night time after the 7 days are up, it is kosher for a carbon. Then it says, Vayom Hashmini, Yirotza L'Karbon Nishan, Vayom only in the daytime, not in the nighttime. So it's a stira. Gemara said, the Torah says, Laila L'Hakdoshe, L'Yom L'Hakrova, you're not allowed to be Magdish, a carbon that's M'chus Hazman. In the first 7 days, it's an Avera to be Magdish, the carbon. But after the 7 days are up, you're allowed to be Magdish at Balayla, you makrev it in the next morning. Yeah, but the Chassam Sofer says in this pasuk there's no steer because it was born kochim, it was born a pchor, and kochim is hayom halach achar halayla halach achar hayom, and all the dinim are different. It's very questionable halacha lemaisa whether the chiddush of the Chassam Sofer is correct. He writes it in one of the tshuvas. Very questionable. Never says in the Gemara like that.
Shani?
Yeah.
According to Chassam Sofer, would you have a mitzvah like Disho even in the 7 days for the Bechor?
There is a mitzvah like Disho. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim where Rebbe is to say it's a Bechor mitzvah like Disho. Probably have to wait till the eighth day to
well,
be
why? If it's if we're going to be relying on the fact that it's Kaddish Mirechem in the first place to say that we can bring it on Sunday,
yeah,
then we should say that you should be able to makdish it in the middle because it's not really
no, it's probably still some mechus hazman. It's an issa to be makdish and mechus hazman. I would think it's the same by Bechor as by the others. I don't know. Interesting question. Maybe the mitzvah lakdish should even be mut in the middle of the 7 days. Could be. I don't know. Not discussed in the Gemara. Then the Torah has a din that a ganef is posel leidus. Al toshis hatchem rasha liyos eit chomas. Eit chomas means a rasha de chomas. He cheats in business. He steals from people. Or Rashi and Tosis say, if he, let's say he buys non-kosher food to save money. He was brought up as an Orthodox Jew. You know he's supposed to eat kosher. And if there's kosher and non-kosher, he will certainly choose the kosher food to buy. But if it's more expensive, then he will compromise on his principles. Machmas chimud mamon. So that's called Rasha d'chamas and his pasulayim. What if a person is a reformed Jew? He's very honest, but the kashrus and taras hamishpach are not from his principles. Not that he's compromising on his principles to save money. He was brought up. He doesn't keep kosher at all. So Rasha d'lab d'chamas. So that's a machlekes abayi v'rava. Whether he's pasulayim or not, that's one of the six yalkigam. That we paskan like abayi b'yalkigam. That's the mem. Mumarach and the Velus Lahacha. See, not that he eats literally often to save money. He doesn't keep kosher at all. He's not compromising on his, but doesn't keep kosher at all. So we pass on like a bite that a mumar Lahacha is also posoleidus. But the Rishonim on the Sufik and we pass on Lahacha that it's not the same as a Rasha Dechamas. A Rasha Dechamas is Choshud Lushaker. We have dinim based on that assumption. Mashal, one of the dinim is that an aguna, if you have eid echad by an aguna, you make it, but the eid echad can be a korev, but it can't be a rasha d'chamas, because he's choshud l'shaker. What if he's a rasha d'lav d'chamas? He's a reformed Jew. He doesn't keep kosher, doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep karas ha-mishpocha, but it's not that he's compromising on his principles. He was brought up as a reformed Jew. These were never principles by him. So we paskan like Abaye that the fellow Russia, the lab the chamas is pasaleid is pasal like a kreivim apsulim. The Gemara says kreivim apsulim is a gzeres hamelech. The Gemara says it's not a chashash meshakem. So we would paskan that a Russia, the lab the chamas is pasaleid is, but he would be kosher leid is isha. That's a long pischei tshuvas and simid yud zayin and evan ezen. That we distinguish between the Rasha Dechamas and Rasha Dalab Dechamas. Then the Torah has a din of Aliyah LeRegel. On Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, we have a mitzvah to visit the Beis HaMikdash L'Eirov HaNeirekam to bring korbanos. And the Pasuk says, Liris is Pnei Ha'odan Hashem. Why does he use that expression, Liris Pnei Ha'odan Hashem? So the Gemara in the first paragraph of Chagiga explains that an Eved Knaini is Pata from Aliyah LaRegel, because Misha Ein La Ela Od Nechod, the only people that are Mechuyev to be LaRegel, those who have a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is their Odin. But an Eved Knaini has an Odin Boss of Adam. He has a boss. So he's not Chayev and Aliyah LaRegel. So the Gemara says that the Pasuk says that women are potter from Aliyah LaRegel. Here all calls Zechorcha. Women are potter. Women are potter. So Mimela and Eved Knaini is potter. But the Gemara says, what if it's a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin? So with respect to tefillin and tzitzis and shofar and lulav, you say chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin, because he's a chatzi ben chorin, he's chayv in all the mitzvahs eser shazman grama. But when it comes to Aliyah LaRegel, you wouldn't say that because he's a chatzi ben chorin, he's mechuyev to be Aliyah LaRegel. No, because he's a chatzi eved, the chelek ha'avdus is a poiter. It's a mafkia, because the pasuk says liras penei ha'odan Hashem, mishein le'el ha'odan echod, yotze zeh sheyesh lo'odan acher. Since he doesn't, he has an odan, bas of adam, he's not chayv in Aliyah LaRegel. It's a poiter in a mafkia. Medinas Yisrael joined the United Nations. Remember when we were learning Yevamos, so the Tosfos in Yevamos has two opinions. On the pasuk there has in the end of the Sedra, it says, L'sichas lehem bris v'lei lo'yhehem. You're not allowed to make a peace treaty with the nations that are over the Avodah Zarah, v'lei lo'yhehem. So one opinion of Tosfos is it's only an issa to make a peace treaty with the religion. But if it's a Christian country, several countries that belong to the United Nations are officially Christian country. America is a Christian country, but not officially. It's not officially Christian. But Spain, I think, is officially a Christian country. Quite a few nations, our nations, are officially of the Avodah Zarah. That's their platform. So that's 2 days in Tosfos, whether there's an Isser to sign a peace treaty with them. So remember, one of the students here, Rav Soloveitchik, how is Medina Israel allowed to join the United Nations? Going to 1 day in Tosfos, they're in violation of the Sichas Lambris with Elohim. So he thought for a moment. He used to be the honorary president of the World Mizrahi organization. So he said, it's a good thing they didn't ask us. He doesn't know what they did. Okay. We'll learn that tomorrow. We'll try to learn a little Chulin. I got to leave early. I plan to be back this afternoon. Okay.